In March, a UN report named Norway the happiest country in the world. So why would the Norwegians want to change the status quo? The general election on Monday may deliver a win for the incumbent right-wing government, but it's looking very close. On the line now is Lars Bavanger, our voice on Norwegian affairs. Lars, Norway currently has a minority government. It's a Conservative Progress Party coalition. In fact, the party hasn't governed alone for the last 17 years there. Does that trend look likely to continue?
That trend definitely does look like it's going to continue. What might change, bar a change of government, the coalition or the current coalition and the Labour-led alternative coalition are very, very close. It's a neck and neck race. But what if that doesn't change? We could see the continuation of the coalition we have today with an important difference. Today we have the Conservatives and the Progress Party in a government coalition. Two other centre-right parties, the Liberals and the Christian Democrats, are also supporting the government in a steady agreement, which has lasted for 4 years. They have said they will not continue such an agreement with the Progress Party in government. So it'll be a looser and less stable minority government, which the opposition leader, Labour leader, Jonas Gahr Støre, has said he's prepared to get rid of through a vote of no confidence.
Very interesting. So could the current Prime Minister, Erna Solberg, if she wins another term, would the government, as you say, it would change? It couldn't actually be made up in the same form. There are many tensions within that existing form.
That's right. Well, the government as it is consists of only the two parties, the Conservatives and the Progress Party. But what she would lose is the permanent support, if you like, in Parliament for all their politics and the budget from the two supporting parties, the Liberals and the Christian Democrats. So she would have to rule, hoping to convince them to vote her way on a day-to-day and case-to-case basis, which, of course, would be a far more difficult thing for her to do and weakened her hand considerably compared to what the situation has been like for her for the past 4 years.
Mm. Let's have a look at the Labour Party. As you say, getting very good numbers. Looks though as if their popularity's fallen a bit recently. Why is that?
Well, they look like clear winners for most of the year. They've been polling sometimes near 40%, which is very, very high in Norwegian standards. What has happened lately, though, is that the economy, which was struggling quite a bit after oil prices really dropped back in 2014, the economy is now picking up, unemployment is falling, and the government, of course, say that this is proof that their policy of tax cuts and further investments in the sector has worked. For Labour, which has been campaigning a lot on creating employment and rectifying the economy, of course, has lost some of the major points in the election campaign towards the end of this. And therefore, they seem to be bleeding voters also to the Conservatives, but also to other centre-left parties that differ on other major issues like further oil exploration in the Arctic North, which the Labour Party is very much for.
Mm. So who might the kingmakers in any possible coalition be?
Well, the Labour Party will have to rely on support or go into government with the centre party, the Agrarian Party, and the Socialist Left. They've been in government with them before, so that shouldn't be a problem. But that also would be a minority government. So, again, on a day-to-day basis, they would rely on the votes of some smaller parties, notably the Greens, which only came in with their first and only MP in last year, or the elections 4 years ago. They have now grown in popularity, according to the polls. They're very much opposed to continuing oil and gas exploration, and they want to phase that out much sooner than anyone else. So neither of the big parties have said that they will actively cooperate with them, because oil and gas is, of course, Norway's main industry, and it would be a political suicide to say that it will close it down. But it looks like they might have to start listening a bit more to the Greens after the election on Monday.
And particularly because the Greens traditionally carry with them a great big youth vote, and that's increasingly important in the country, particularly after the horrific events at Utøya when Anders Breivik murdered 77 junior Labour Party members. Youngsters appear to be much more politicised in Norway now.
That's true. We saw that very soon after those horrific attacks that the number of young people joining the youth parties rose. Not only the Labour Party, which of course was the main target for Breivik's attack, but other parties as well. And the voter representation among young people has risen. Traditionally, young people will go for perhaps the more radical alternatives. So we've seen a surge in votes for the Socialist Left Party and also the Communist Red Party, which so far has no MPs, but also the Greens, which are presenting a real alternative, if you want, to the established parties, in that they are focusing mainly on fighting climate change and turning the Norwegian economy away from petroleum sector and onto renewables.
Lars, thank you very much indeed. That was Lars Bevanger, our Oslo correspondent.